Well, God's good, amen. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 16. I'm sorry, turn in your Bibles to Malachi. That'd be right before Matthew. Right before Matthew. And I want you to know that I try to choose my words and titles carefully. And I promise you, I could preach this title and apply it to women. But I just want to tell you that women are not the problem in America. Y'all hear me? Women are not the problem in America. It's godless men who do not fear the Lord. They're the problem in America. So, I can tell you what America needs is a man that would hold and bind the family unit closer together. And it would have repercussions that would quickly vibrate throughout the world. So we're in Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and the rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Oh Lord, we need this. This is what we need. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. And if we're not there, we are rapidly getting there. Utter destruction. A country that you know, destroyed. Never to be the same again. Division is being promoted like it's never been promoted. And we are headed towards an utter destruction of the most free, liberty-fighting for country in the world. That's where we're headed. So I do want to honor our fathers this morning, and I pray that I have. And I pray that if Sandra hadn't made you feel special this morning, if your wife hasn't made you feel special this morning, if your son or daughter hasn't made you feel special this morning, I pray that you'll be made to feel special by this message. So what I want to do this morning is build on the momentum from the message that I preached to the graduates on May the 2nd and the Mother's Day message that I preached on May the 9th. And by the way, if you missed those two messages, I do have them in hard copy. And also you can go on our sermon audio page and you can pull those two messages up and read them. You can pull them up and listen to them. You can also click on there and share it with anybody that you want to share it with. So they're there. I also want to continue to build my 28-year case that if we're going to change the church and in turn America, we've got to make huge changes in the homes. The church at best is spinning its wheels and treading water until we turn the home around. We must rethink our priorities for our home. Absolutely, radically think about our priorities. So I want to ask you this morning, when you think about the home, what are we raising young men and young women to be? And I bet everything you say would be okay. But you've got to know what the intent of God was for us raising young men and young women. And I'll tell you what it was. To be godly men and godly women who their number one priority is raising godly offspring. You'll remember I told our graduates, and I am proud of them, that they had had little or no intentional training for what God had created them to be. Lots of training to be whatever. It's all good. I have granddaughters, a nurse, a dental hygienist, whatever the case may be, all good. But God's concerned about us raising godly offspring. Godly men, godly husbands, godly dads, godly women, godly wives, and godly mothers. And I'll just tell you, I've listened to a, it was from the Southern Baptist Convention in 2019, a panel discussion of preachers and women of the church about raising young women. You know what was never mentioned? Being a godly mom. Y'all hear me? Never mentioned. God's calling on women was never mentioned in the largest Protestant denomination in the world in a panel discussion on what God intended women to do. You know what that tells me? They're way more concerned about being politically correct than they are being scripturally correct. Most young people have not seen the proper example set in the home. And let me tell you, the church must address this. And regardless of whether I hit it or not, or Brother Bob hit it or not, or Charles hit it or not, or Russ or Eddie hit it and got it right in what they did, we've got to get past our failures and now do all we can to change it. And don't beat yourself up for what you didn't do. Just commit yourself now to do what you can do. And let me just tell you, it makes a difference. Jeannie and I got an unexpected note from a grandson this week. Unsolicited. Not Father's Day, not birthday. An unsolicited note. And I just want you to know, it makes a difference what you teach your grandkids. You know one thing he put in the note? He said, "Paul, you have taught me what it means to play a card game and get beat like a yard dog." Listen, dads, there's nobody in the whole world that has the influence upon your children than you do. Nobody. And grandpas can have a little influence, amen? So, what did God create Adam and Eve to do? What did He tell Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth to do? Huh? You think that doesn't apply to us today? Some of you kind of figured it out, okay? Some of you don't have it figured out yet. You think you live in China where you can't have but one child, and that's got to be a boy. Listen, I think He said, go and populate the earth, and I think Malachi said, with godly offspring. That's what we're supposed to do. And then raise them up to be mighty warriors that know how to operate in a lost world. I'm so thankful, and I got a new book, and I gave some of the guys one, and I'll give you one. It's Ken Ham and Answers in Genesis. That's our Sunday school material. We've got not just to teach them what we believe, we've got to teach them how to defend what we believe. Just a few scripture. Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a helper fit for him." Genesis 2:24. "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Listen, men, if you're here this morning and you're not married, and you still burn with lust, we're going to read that next. You know what the rule is? Get married. Listen, we have got to stop sowing our seed and producing a crop that we can have no influence over. First Corinthians 7, 8, and 9 says, to the unmarried and the widows, I say that it's good for them to remain single as I am. We said a prayer this morning. I prayed for a young man. You know, God may have blessed him to be celibate. But not many men are blessed to be celibate. Most men, God created to get married and produce offspring. That's how it works. I know that's a novel thought here in America today, that you get married before you produce offspring. Matter of fact, I tell y'all, I'm so thankful I'm back in the jail. Man, I've had some great studies this week. And I'm telling you, there's sometimes that you tell men in the jail what adultery and fornication is, and they are absolutely shocked that you can't have sex with whoever you want to have sex with. They think as long as you're not married, you can have sex with anybody. Genesis 9:1 says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. He wasn't joking. Malachi 2:15, did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourselves in your spirit and let none of you be faithful to the wife of your youth. We are to get married, and that's why it's so important to find men, a godly man, or women, a godly women, a godly man, or men, a godly woman. That's why it's so important that you do that, because you'll be united in doing what? Raising godly offspring. But I want to tell you, it doesn't just then happen. Because the world is telling you there's way more things to teach them about than being godly. I told the mothers that God intended for them to, quote, rear children. You know what that means? God told mothers to raise the kids. Nobody else is to be given the right to raise your children. You are to raise the children. And listen, men, if your wife can't raise the children and work a 40-hour job too, then you need to work harder and have less toys. There's nobody going to raise the kids like mom. So today I want to plug the most important ingredient into the equation. The father. Did you know? He's not going to call Jeannie up at judgment and say, what did you do with this family I gave you? He's going to call me up. Every one of you. And I can tell you, there won't be any time for stammering and stuttering. There won't be room for any buts. So, now that I've been as politically correct as I could be this morning, let's just look at it and see how we can make that happen. So, what does a dad add to the home? Well, let me relate to you a statistic from several years ago in a book I read, Why Men Don't Go to Church. That was the title of the book. And it's really good. It's pretty secular, but it's pretty good. So let me tell you the statistics about the influence that men have, okay? If a child starts attending the church through a bus ministry, and they're the only ones attending that church, there's a 25% chance the family will follow that child to church. If mom starts attending a church, there's a 50% chance the family will follow her. Listen to this. If dad starts attending a church, there is a 95% chance that the family will follow. Tell me somebody that has a little influence. What I tell you guys all the time, if your wife gets just a little out of sorts, if you'll hold the course, she'll follow. You know what the child has written on their hearts? God's order. Y'all with me? So it says in Romans 2:15b, you got it. They show that the work of the law is written where? On their hearts. Proverbs 17:6, grandchildren are the crown of the age. Listen to this, men. And the glory of the child, or children, is who? Their fathers. Did you know kids know that? They just come here by God's law being written upon them and by their nature knowing that a man is a big deal. So, how do I know that? You know what my mama told me? Wait till your daddy gets home. Wives know it. There's nobody that has the influence on a child like daddy. So what does the scripture say about manhood and fathers? Well, let's begin where we began with the Women's Day sermon. I'm in Titus 2:1-2. You have it there. It says, but as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-control, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Look, you will never be a mighty man of God in your home or anywhere else unless you get in here. There's no growing up to be a godly man outside this. You know what a perfect man or a mature man is? A man that rightly handles the word of truth, that fears the Lord, loves the Lord, and wants to serve the Lord. It's found right here. So, in general, men, we are to know the Bible. You know why we need to know the Bible? So we can live the Bible and we can teach the Bible. Probably every one of you men in here have heard this. You ought to learn how to be a teacher in the church by teaching your wife and kids at home. Because I can tell you, you guys know what I'm talking about. If you can teach a little reluctant and obstinate wife, you can teach the church. But if you ain't got the guts to do that, you probably ought not have the guts to teach in the church. Paul starts with the older men. Where did I start this morning? Golly, I wonder where that order came from this morning. I hadn't even thought. That's where it came from. Who do we start with? The older men. That's where Paul taught start. He started with the older men. Man, just I don't know how many. We had 7 or 8 up here. Maybe Tammy, she's going to count them. You don't have to count them now. Look, guys. That's almost enough men, older men, for you to attach yourself to and learn from them. Now look, it's not the older man's responsibility to attach themselves to you. It's your responsibility to attach yourself to them. I can't call everybody every morning. But you know what? I can answer the phone. Somebody's got to make the effort. Be reasonable, rational, thoughtful. Are you men listening? Serious, noble, upright, respectful. A body and mind subjected to and under control. trusting in what Christ has done and putting their hope in who Christ is and what He's done. A man who loves God and others. Y'all hear that? We're getting to there in chapter 16 of Matthew. A man who loves others more than they love themselves. You know, when your wife and your kids and other men become more important to you and your schedule, you're getting there. Steady, faithful in his life and duties. You know what you can say about these men up here? Those guys that's been here 20 years? I think there's a good chance they're going to finish. They got a good start on it, right? I've been telling people lately. I had somebody else tell me this week I know who it was, but I won't tell you who it was. Somebody else has the same anniversary. They're going to be married 37 or 38 years. Jeannie and I have just determined, since we've almost made it to 50 on August the 13th, we think we're just going to work this thing out. I think there's some men around here who's going to finish. You know what? I think there's some men around here that had rather die living for the Lord than to quit the Lord and then die. That's how serious it is. So, you can't teach a younger man, men, until you become mature in the faith yourself. So, just a few scriptures that validate what we're talking about. So, how does this happen? How do we raise godly offspring? Malachi 2:15. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. Now let me say it again, guys. If you've messed it up, now I'm talking about we've all messed it up. Come on now, we can all raise our hand. We've all messed it up in some regard. Forgive yourself, ask others to forgive you, and right now decide to do it God's way, the best you know how. That's all you can do. We're to populate the earth with what? Kids? Godly offspring. Genesis 18:19. For I have chosen him, Abraham. Not Sarah. Abraham, that he may command his children and his household after him to do what? To keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he's promised him. So what are they to command them? To keep the way of the Lord. Who's to do it? The man is to command and teach his family the ways of the Lord. To do righteousness and to do justice. You know what Scripture says? The family will be blessed when this is done. Look at that back there. The doing righteousness, know that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he's promised him. What did he tell? Probably Jade could. Can anybody tell me what the Lord promised Abraham? Lots of land, lots of people, and that he'd be a blessing. That's what we're supposed to be. But so many of us, because we don't immerse ourselves in that, we're curses. We're curses to our family. We're curses to our church. We're curses in our community. Ephesians 4:11-13. I've got this in King James because it says a perfect man. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Listen, men, to be real men, to be godly men, is to grow up in the Scripture and grow up in the Word and to be grown up by the Spirit to look more like Jesus. So, what does this perfect man look like? Well, I'm not embarrassed to tell you this. What does 2 Corinthians 11:1, what did Paul say? Imitate what I do. That's not being boastful. That's being what Paul said to do. You want to know what a godly man looks like? You want to know what to grow up in the Lord? Look, Paul said, look at me. And every one of us men that were standing down here in this morning, we're all sinners. We all fail. We all make mistakes. Did David not? But God called David a man after his own heart. Listen, you know the thing you need to understand about David? When he messed up, he fessed up. Don't look at me and expect me to be perfect. But when I am found out, when I've sinned, expect me to be quick to repent. He knows the Lord. He fears the Lord. He loves the Lord. And he serves the Lord. You know what a godly man does that's maturing in the Lord? He has time for the Lord. Only by the Spirit of God and the Word of God will this happen. Russ said it this morning. He said, you know, preacher, unless the Lord touches that message, you're just going to be stirring the water. I'll bet you if somebody, and boy, this would be painful, to go back and listen to every manhood message I preached in the church, I bet I don't have anything that's absolutely novel this morning. I bet you've heard it before. But you know what I believe might happen? I believe that by His Word and His Spirit, He might move you this morning. Just think about this. Since this church was instituted in 1993, we've been teaching men to be godly men. Think about the Ians that's come through here. Think about the Josephs that's come through here. The Carloses that have come through here. What if in the next month, all of those young men, what if all of those young men get born again and get saved and become godly men? Wow, you know what would happen? There'd be a revival. I'm not talking about three. I bet I'm talking about 300. And that's the way we ought to be praying. God, you know what we've tried to do. By your word and your spirit, make it happen. Somebody say amen. First Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up what? Yeah. Okay, listen, man. You cannot be a godly man. You cannot raise your family to know the Lord. Your wife can't have the time to be the godly mother that she needs to be. Listen to me. And you have all the toys that a godly man has. And when you find out you got one that's taking too much time, y'all have heard this example before. Hey, listen, I'd never hit a golf ball in my life. And I went in the Army, and the general that I was an aide for, he loved to play golf. Well, it happened to be that one of my best friends from infantry officer course, he was an All-American golfer at Citadel. Well, he taught me how to play golf. You know, he's the one that taught me, when you stand on the first tee, if you dress like a golfer, somebody will think you are. And so he taught me to play golf. And when I got out of the Army, I loved to play golf. Matter of fact, before I got out of the Army, the general and I were playing 2 or 3 days a week. I loved to play golf. But you know what happened one day? I joined the membership out here. And one day I went out there, and the whole time I'm playing golf, I'm thinking about everything else I could be doing. I bet I hadn't played golf 5 times since then. Listen, men, to do what God has called you to do, there'll be a lot of things that are good, nothing wrong with them. You don't have time for it. Listen, you may have to work 60 or 70 hours a week in order for mom to have the time she needs. You know what? Ain't nothing wrong with that. Listen to me. There's people in this church. There are people tomorrow going to work at Millennial Steel. You know what they tell them when they go to work down there? You'll make $80,000 this year. Now, they're working 10, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. Listen, I've told you before, Jeannie and I have never lived on over $55,000 in 50 years of marriage. How much is enough? And how many toys do you have to have? Lord, help us have the time to become a godly man. So, listen, men, young people, wives, let me tell you, men, what your kids and your wife need. They don't need all your toys, and they don't need the latest cell phone and the latest fashion. Now, do you expect a 13-year-old to understand that? Y'all listen to me again. A 13-year-old does not have the discernment to know what he needs or she needs. That's why they've got a mom and a dad. And just let me remind you, most adults can't handle a smartphone. So what in the world would make you think a 12 or 13-year-old kid could? And somebody had to pay for that phone. Somebody had to work. Let me ask you, men, is it you or is your wife working to pay for that? Let me tell you, it's not the stuff that you can get your kids that they need. What they need is you. They need you. They need your love. They need your time and your instruction in the Lord. So, let me just tell you this. Don't try to pacify your conscience for not being the man that you ought to be and instructing your family in the ways of the Lord by giving them a bunch of stuff. Again, you need to memorize this. They need you. They need your love. They need your time. And they need your instruction in the Lord. So here we go. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. Be watchful and stand firm in the faith. Men, are you listening? Act like men. Act like a man who knows the Lord, fears the Lord, loves the Lord, and is growing in the Scripture. I'm going to skip the 1 Kings. You can read it later. Let's go down to the Ephesians 6:4. Because it's like the 1 Kings scripture. I love it. We just got through reading it in the last couple of weeks or so, and I love the scripture, but it's pretty plain cut what it says. Well, let me go back and read the last verse. Verse 4 of 1 Kings 2. That the Lord may establish His word that He spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons pay close attention to their way, men, and walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Now let me give you that some modern day thinking for that when it comes to the family. Listen, what does it look like to be a man? To walk in the ways of God, to keep His statutes, His commandments, His rules, and His testimonies. And look what the results will be. Are you looking at that? Your sons will walk before me with faithfulness from the entire souls and hearts. The throne will be always secure. Let me give you some application to that. If you will do that, your family, the most important thing you've got in your life, if you do that, your family will be secure. Ephesians 6:4. Children, do not provoke I'm sorry. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, I want to tell you, your kids want to esteem you. Because that was written on their heart. But evidently you can provoke them to wrath, right? So how in the world would you provoke a kid who comes here knowing that they need to esteem you? Well, let's look at it. When we don't live by the example we're talking about. Oh, my, my, my. Don't I like to always tell you guys, don't do what I do, but do what I say? We'd all like to get away with that, right? Tell me how that flies with you. Come on now, y'all just listen to me preach. Don't look at my life. Well, that don't fly with your kids either. You talk it, you got to walk it. When we don't teach them what they know they ought to be taught, did you hear me? They come here knowing that they should be taught the ways of the Lord. And when they don't get it, they're provoked. Now, rightly so. But you know what that usually ends up looking like? Rebellion. And rebellion, listen, young people, I don't care the example your mama or your daddy's setting. Let me tell you what rebellion does. It costs you greatly. It almost always looks like sexual immorality and children out of wedlock and drugs. So you don't want to go there. Just because your daddy not doing what he ought to be doing. Just don't do it. To know the Lord, to fear the Lord, to love the Lord, and to serve the Lord. So let me just tell you, men. Doing nothing or being absent will not fly on the day of judgment. And leaving a string of broken kids. Messed up kids, amen? All right, we're back to where we started. Malachi 4, 4 through 6. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all of Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Now, there's no telling how many times I've read that scripture this week. And I'm telling you this morning is the first time I've seen this, what I believe we could claim as a promise. All right, let's read verse 4 again. I'm sorry, verse 6. Okay, verse 5. Behold, I will send you, who? Elijah, a prophet. All right, has Elijah already come? He's already come. But could there be another Elijah? Could there be another prophet that speaks these words and that actually, before the day of the Lord, there could be another John the Baptist that would say, you know, serve the Lord, love the Lord, fear the Lord, all of those things. Could there be another one that comes and a great revival comes? I would hope so. But I don't know that. Unless there's a great revival in this country, unless there's a great revival among men in this country, unless men get back to being spiritual leaders in the home, you will continue to see hatred and lawlessness. In that pamphlet, there's 11 sheets of statistics about the terrible things happen in a fatherless home and some good things that happen in a godly man's home. Full of statistics that will absolutely break your heart. This country and everything that goes with it, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness will be gone unless we have a great revival. And I believe that revival's got to start with men. So, I'm done. I want to give you a summary. And let me just tell you, it's not my own. This is another Robert Lewis deal. The guy that sent me the text said, we need some real men, right? Well, I'm going to give you a definition of real men. You've seen it before. We'll go through it quickly. Rejects passivity. Okay, does anybody remember who God commanded don't eat of the fruit of the tree in the center of the garden? Who was that? Eve, wasn't it? No, who was it? Adam. Well, does anybody know where Adam was when Eve ate of the fruit? He was right there. Now, how do I know that? Because she ate of the fruit and then gave him some. Ever since that, men, ever since that moment in time, there are things that we know that we ought to do, but that old Adam creeps us up in us, and we're passive, and we don't take care of business. That is in our nature. We got it from Adam, and we got to push through that. Rejects passivity. Intentionally, we teach, and men accept teaching on becoming men who fear the Lord. Men who get to know the Lord. Men who lead your wife and children to know the Lord. And just listen to me, men. If you're not doing it, it will probably be the hardest thing you've ever done. Because the enemy, the spiritual powers to be, don't want you doing it. R-E-A-L, rejects passivity. E, expects a greater reward. Let me just tell you, I don't believe there can be any greater joy in a man's life than to see his children and grandchildren serving the Lord. That's in this world. Somebody say amen? But listen to me, you know what that means? If they're serving the Lord here, you're going to spend an eternity with them there. Expects a greater reward, raises godly offspring, sees God working here, and see them there. So R, rejects passivity. E, expects a greater reward. A, accepts responsibility. I can't take responsibility for your family. And listen, once I've taught it to you, I won't have to answer for it at judgment. So, preacher, why would you keep 28 years later harping on this manhood stuff? How many scripture do you want me to show you? I'm left out my favorite, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and your strength. These commandments I am giving you today, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. I left that one out. I mean, just scripture after scripture after scripture tells you men that you are important in the home. God put men in the family for a purpose. Take charge of being sure that you and your wife are raising godly offspring. Men are the CEO. The wife would be the operation manager. But I want to tell you again, men, at judgment, he's not going to call your wife up first and hold her accountable for your family. Leads courageously. You are the God-appointed leader of the family. Learn your role. Mature in your role. Set the example. And lead your family to know the Lord. Hey, listen. There's 7 or 8 men up here this morning. Listen. That in some way or the other over the last 20 years have tried that. You know what every one of those guys can tell you? They can tell you where they failed. They can tell you how hard it is. They can tell you what a struggle it is. They can all tell you that. Some of us can tell you the joys of that. So let me just tell you, there's no reason for it not to happen. Listen, we study out a curriculum called Answers in Genesis. You know what Answers in Genesis is all about? It's about God's design. Why should you expect this to work? Because it's God's design. He'll bless it. The mechanism is in place. Not only is the mechanism in place, there's 8 or 10 guys in this church that will help you. We teach men in this church to be godly men. So it's time men accept and embrace the teaching. It's time for families to intentionally get back to raising godly offspring. It starts out with having a fear of the Lord. Somebody tell me what Proverbs 1:7 says. The beginning of knowledge is what? The fear of the Lord. Ask God to give you a holy, trembling fear of Him. Know the Lord. Amen. Know the Lord and the Christ whom He sent. Amen. Love the Lord. Love His Word. Get in the Word. And serve the Lord. And listen, men, start with your wife and kids. And I'll tell you, one of these days you'll say it's the best thing I ever did. Bob Williams, would you dismiss us in prayer?